You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Hour number two, Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We have a full Thursday Night Football tonight. We'll preview that coming up a little bit later on in the show. Next hour, we're going to get into that. This hour, I want to talk about the Giants, a little scorched earth, as I mentioned. I also wanted to get into a couple more either-ors that I had with two running backs that I found interesting. So we're going to do that coming up in a few as well. But some more good news for you, and that's that DeMarco Murray is a dude that doesn't go away. We said this yesterday on the show, guys, that DeMarco Murray, he's going to play and play and play. Yeah. He's never going to the bench.
I'm telling you, I think DeMarco Murray get paid by carries.
Love it.
I think he get paid for every time he touched the football. I think that's how his contract is set up. And that's how, and DeMar, as long as he can get out there unhealthy, hamstring tight, hamstring falling off the bone, he's going to go out there and ruin your fantasy team.
Yeah, I think there's two things in play here. One, he doesn't want to get usurped by Derrick Henry, if that opportunity, if he sat and then Henry had that great game. And the other thing, too, is he's probably not going to be with the Titans next year, so he wants to prove that he can
still go.
He has some love in the tank.
So somebody can give him another per-touch contract.
But yeah, he was dressed on the bye week. He showed up.
Yeah, he showed up. Like,
he also gets paid if he suits up. Yeah.
You mean I can't play?
Corey Davis, his teammate, they expects a increase in snaps this week. And which is cool is that he had 75% of the snaps last week. And he's seeing an increase from that. A lot to like about Corey Davis, as everybody in the world is excited about.
Yeah, everybody's excited about Corey Davis. I'd definitely rather rock with Corey Davis than the D.D. Westbrook type. You
I
feel what I'm
that.
Saying?
Hey, Matt, I wanted to ask you. Who is going to be, I want to do this now, it's what, November 9th or so, who is going to be this year's baseball Corey Davis? Everyone's like, ah! Have you gotten there yet?
Who's going to be this year's baseball Corey Davis? No, I don't think I'm there yet.
You're not there yet.
I mean, as far as what I saw in Arizona, I mean, that I don't know. I think the guy who's not in Arizona, but he's playing the Dominican ball, is Eloy Jimenez.
Okay.
The Cubs.
Sure.
He's crushing it there.
So
everybody's
one.
All on Ronald Acuna. I think Jimenez might be the
That's guy. A good one. I actually have him in my Dynasty League. Yeah.
I am excited to find out which player that, like, Major League player, that everybody gets behind. I remember a couple of years ago, it was like Nolan Arenado and then A.J. Pollock, and everyone was behind so-and-so. I'm excited to hear who will
I'll throw this out. Just don't draft Jake Arrieta.
No, I saw that tweet.
I don't care where he goes. Everything's trending downward.
He's the guy. Yeah. He's a free agent, right?
Jake Arrieta? A free agent, and probably saving the Orioles from themselves, being that he was a former Oriole that they traded. Otherwise, they'd give him like $50 million or something.
Yeah, everybody's going to be on Byron Buxton this year.
I agree. Yeah. I agree, Scott. That's actually very good one.
Yeah.
Y'all know I'm in Tout Wars, right?
I do. Mm-hmm. And you beat Adam Ronis, I believe.
Yeah, I finished ahead of Adam Ronis. I talked to Adam Ronis yesterday. He's chilling.
I feel like you say that every day.
I've been talking to Adam Ronis more this week.
Yeah, I spoke to Ronis via text a couple days ago.
Yeah.
He was kind of angry.
Scott, did you also text Ronis?
Not this week, no.
Scott don't care about people. Once they're gone, you know,
he wipes his hands of them.
He wipes his hands of them. Yeah, that's how
the
he
only
does.
One I care about all the time is Corey.
When we come back, so for the New York Giants.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do it next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Executive Corey Parson, the King, Scott Engel, Washi Mount Modica. I am Greg Sussman. And the rumors ran rampant yesterday. And they talked about it on Target like it was a fact. It's not. But I want to get into it anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's the fact that Ben McAdoo's time, whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, 2 weeks, whatever, his time as the head coach of the New York Giants is coming to an end. The bitter end.
Yeah, Sunday they're going to tell him don't get on the plane.
Yeah, you know, this, you know, a lot of reports, Josina Anderson on ESPN was saying players were like voluntarily talking negative off the record stuff about how he's lost the locker room, etc. Was watching Inside the NFL, and Boomer Esiason was actually criticizing the Giant players for actually like pulling up and not making tackles. That's very, very bad. I saw that on film. I saw Eli Apple just pulled up and just decided to not go in on that Robert Woods play. And, you know, I've never seen a press conference like that with McAdoo where he just said, oh, why'd you ask the team at halftime? That was just downright bizarre. This team needs a culture change so they can start positively looking towards the future. As far as like talking about, you know, starting to bench Eli, I think Eli in a better situation may show that he can still have something left, but this is not the situation.
That Robert Woods 3rd and 34 play.
That's disgusting.
That was the one play that just, you know, all you had to do was watch that one thing.
Mm-hmm. Listen, it's apparent, especially from what we saw in week 9, that the team has quit. They've given up. They've packed it and they've thrown in the towel. The McAdoo hire was disastrous. It is no way that man knows what he's doing. He was not ready to be a head coach. He is a coordinator type. I understand you needed to get Tom Coughlin out of there at some point and break that thing up, but that McAdoo, sliding McAdoo into that spot, and McAdoo and Eli probably already wasn't seeing eye to eye, that was a bad idea from the jump. I don't like the way, and trust me, I don't despise nobody in sports the way I do Eli Manning, but I don't think it's right to put this on Eli Manning. McAdoo has this is McAdoo's thing, this is Reese's thing also. So, but McAdoo is a tremendous problem. He needs to go ASAP.
You know, it's interesting.
You hate Eli Manning?
You talked about it yesterday, Corey, on the Fantasy Football Frenzy about Eli Manning. And you're like, listen, you hate Eli Manning as a, not as a person, but from a football perspective, you hate Eli Manning like no other player in sports. And ultimately, what this dude has done in New York with the Giants, 2 Super Bowls, 50,000 yards, 207 at this point, consecutive games started. He's done that. And you have this idiot, Ben McAdoo, come in, trying to change everything and blame everybody but himself.
Yeah.
That is what I can't stand. When coaches come in and blame everybody but themselves. Like, I get it. Odell was injured and it screwed up your fantasy season and it screwed up the Giants season. I get it. I understand that sucks. But how many games has Dez Bryant missed through the years, right? Like, how many games has Dez Bryant missed? And has Jason Garrett ever blamed the fact that Dez Bryant isn't out there? No. Not one time. And Jason Garrett has been on the chopping block before with Jerry Jones, and he was on the edge of getting fired, and he just literally just pushed through as a head coach and did his job. And when he had to give up the play calling duties to first Bill Callahan and then Scott Linehan, did he complain? No. He coached a team. Ben McAdoo had to get that stupid menu of a play card pulled from his dying fingers before he gave it up. And even then, he still blames everybody else except his own ineptitude.
And he's had some, Jason Garrett, that you bring him up. Jason Garrett has had some terrible seasons. Jason Garrett has had some horrible decisions. You remember all the losses. And like you said, they still stuck with Jason Garrett. I think now he's one of the longest tenure coaches in the NFL.
He's lost his quarterback 5 years in a row.
This is true, too.
From a fantasy perspective, though, I don't know if, now, a lot of the players have given up from what we've seen, but there are some guys who are still useful, especially this week, who I think, you watch Orleans Darkwood and the way that he plays, I don't think he's given up. I think Sterling Shepard is giving effort, and Evan Ingram is coming along nicely. So, from a fantasy perspective, I don't think these guys are useless. Question for Corey: you hate Eli Manning? Why do you hate Eli Manning?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Because he's a Cowboy fan. It's the same reason why I would.
He took
like
a picture with him, though.
It's serious. I wouldn't like to.
And that nobody's never seen. Because Eli Manning didn't want it out there.
I think you didn't want it out there.
I was fine with it either way.
Anyway, Dan Duggan, Giants beat reporter, he brings up a great point that ultimately McAdoo's fate, it's sealed. It's over. We get that with Ben McAdoo. Like, as I said, whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, 2 weeks, whatever, he's gone. But many of the players are fighting for something, as Scott pointed out. They can't all give up because they are fighting for jobs for the rest of this season and next season. I think Orleans Dark was a fantastic example of that.
Yeah, and I think Sterling Shepard's playing with pride. When you look like Eli Apple, he doesn't go in on a tackle. He's probably thinking, I'm just speculating here. Oh, I'm Eli Apple. You know, they're not going to cut
me. Eli Apple, to me, has always been overrated. That's every time I watch him.
Eli Apple's a fine example of why Jerry Reese should get fired, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was the dude that was taken in the first round, which is fine, but 20 picks before he should have went. And Jerry Reese doesn't know how to trade down. Yeah. But anyway, when it comes to Orleans Darkwa for a moment here. Orleans Darkwa, we talked about this during the summer. I mean, he was a backup to the backup. He was never interesting. He wasn't sexy. But I told you, you know, as I said during the summer, every time this guy gets an opportunity, he runs hard.
Yes.
And this year, you know, he's had a little bit of a breakout where people know who Orleans Darkwa is now. He has a beautiful matchup this week against the worst rush defense in the NFL. This dude is fighting for a job, whether it's with the Giants this year or with another team next year, right? Like, this is a guy that you want to play in fantasy the rest of the way in the right matchup because he's somebody that's fighting for something.
He's a great streamer this week. He is.
This week he is, Scott. I agree. Yeah. But what if, like, McAdoo does get fired after this week? Do the Giants at some point say, we want to see this kid Goldman. We invested this pick in that.
It's possible.
The whole thing with McAdoo and Reese and all these rumors you're hearing, there's an old Wall Street adage we had. You buy on rumor, you sell on fact. This is happening. I mean, McAdoo's going to go first. I think the Giants are not going to bring Reese back as well.
No,
he
can't.
It's the perfect time to cut the cord. If you get this top pick or one of the top picks, you bring in a whole new regime.
Yeah.
And gut it. I mean, and gut it and do it the right way. Hire the general manager. Let the general manager go get the coach.
Yeah.
And then you and go ahead and start putting the thing together. But Jerry, this pick is a top three, top five pick in the draft.
Jerry Reese
should not have anything to do with this pick. Jerry Reese has been bad. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you look at this week's game, right? And everybody said, oh, who wants to watch the Giants and the Niners, right? But you know what, though? Some of these
classic
guys,
NFC rivalry.
Some of these guys, like, 8 Super Bowls between the two teams.
Well,
right?
It used to be.
1992 was the biggest game of the year, I remember, like when the Giants played the Niners on Monday Night Football.
Open the season.
Yeah. It actually was middle of the season, I think.
Monday Night Football opened the season, Giants and Niners.
It's been a long time ago. But look, you know, for these two teams, they're going to play hard because the Giants are hearing these reports. Some of them are going to play hard. And the San Francisco 49ers badly want to win. The last time two teams with records like this, one is 1-8, no, the other is 0-9, played each other this deep into the season, 1984, the 1-8 Cleveland Browns beat the 0-9 Buffalo Bills.
See, but this is the difference is with this situation. We're not just talking about two bad football teams out there with young players trying to figure it out and playing for pride and trying to make a name in the NFL. We're talking about a team that had Super Bowl aspirations.
Correct.
That's
1-8. Yeah.
They've done. They don't want nothing to do with this season. They want the season to end as fast as possible. The last thing they want to do is fly out to the Bay Area to play a damn football game.
100%, and I agree. And
a lot of them. Not all of them.
That's the difference between the Niners and the Giants, and Corey brings up a great point. I don't even want to go back to last year. With a team like Cleveland, right, they had nothing to play for. They were 0 and everything. But they tried to rally around Hugh. Like, Hugh could have won 0-16 last year, and he was not going to get fired from that job because this team did not quit on him last year. They believe in him. And when it comes to the Giants, Corey's right. They have Super Bowl aspirations. Whether they're good enough to get there or not, that's not even the point of this. You were supposed to be competitive. No game this year. Like, were they remotely competitive? I know they won against the Broncos. I get it. I know they blew some leads early. But this team fell apart every opportunity they were given. When Odell Beckham goes down against the Chargers, they're up like 10 points. They're winning the game.
And it was over after that.
Drunk.
They knew they wasn't going to be able to score no more. And that defense was like, we're going to be on the field for half the game. It's over right now for the New York Giants. And the thing about it is that's bad is when you look at this is they – what they have, the Giants have problems that they came into the season with.
Correct.
That they left last offseason with.
Correct.
And they didn't address them at all.
Correct.
What do you think is going to happen? You know what I'm saying? Behind this offensive line.
That's called insanity.
When other teams are playing well, you got these good young quarterbacks in that same division, and you don't give Eli Manning no kind of protection. This thing with this McAdoo guy, you knew he was a problem last year. Reese walking around here like he don't know what's going on. Like he's too good. His head is in the cloud. Like he's too good to be approached by it. This is a bad football organization right now, and they got to turn this around.
I don't know if it's the end of the line for Eli Manning. This is not the situation for him, though. But look, Peyton to Denver at the end of career, maybe Eli to Denver at the end of his career. And you put him with guys like Sanders and Thomas, you know, and a good defense, you know, there's still something maybe to see there.
No, it's not the wide receivers or the good defense. It's the five guys that are standing in front of him. Eli cannot
be better than the
That's
Giants.
That's going to happen. Well, that thing
Let's see
Robert
what they
Woods,
would have in place Robert next Woods. Year.
We're taking a break. We'll come back. We'll finish the conversation up next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
So wrapping up the Giants conversation.
Who do you think will win a fight? AJ Green or Mike Evans?
I'll go with AJ Green. Mike Evans, you know, from the
from
back.
Behind. Yeah,
like that
yeah.
Stuff, so.
I want you to square up, you know what I'm saying? Mono or mono. Well, AJ Green, like, got grabbed something from the back, too.
I go with Mike Evans.
Mike Evans is a big dude.
Yeah.
AJ Green's a big dude, too.
I kind of like what AJ Green was doing.
AJ Green got hands, though. He got hands. You can see that AJ Green has some kind of fighter training. You feel what I'm saying?
We're having the Giants conversation.
That's
what we were.
Yeah, but
off.
Because I was going to say that Robert Woods play, mm-hmm. that was horrific.
Beautiful.
That's one of the low moments in New York Giant history.
I agree. It was awful. And that's.
Even I was like, oh my God, this is terrible.
But you also laughing hysterically, right?
Yes. Nah, when that play happened, I was getting ready to go to Mount Morris Park to watch my sister, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting up there and I'm like, I'm gonna leave after this play. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
And I'm sitting in Buffalo Wild Wings, you know what I'm saying? And I turn away for a second, then I see Robert Woods running down the field and I'm like, wait a minute, this is 3rd and 33. And I thought it was like an accident. You know, I'm looking for the flag. And when I saw that, I just grabbed my bag. I was like, this is horrific. People was in there as New York Giant fans, and they're like, it was complete silence in there.
Tell you what, we should have realized with these suspensions with Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, Janoris Jenkins, that they don't show up for a reason. Like,
there's mutiny going on.
There's a mutiny, 100%. Mm-hmm. Eli Apple's another one of them. It's horrible. Landon Collins taking a step back. Awful.
It's been an unfortunate big slide for the Giants and their fans.
I don't think it's unfortunate.
You know, after winning the last Super Bowl in 2011, they haven't won a playoff game. It's been frustrating. I remember being in a bar with Ronis like at the year after they won the Super Bowl, and they were dominating the first game, like blowing somebody else. And somebody said, "Is this the greatest team of all time?" You know, some Giant fan said, and then just like it's really gone down. So hopefully they can rebuild and get back to being competitive. I have a very, very deep dynasty league with a practice squad. I actually picked up Davis Webb and stashed him for
this is a team that had Super Bowl aspirations that have one win. I get you underwhelm, you underperform. I get it. You're 3-5 right now. I understand that. They have one win.
I'll say this, though. If you know, I'd rather have the one win than have the four wins, especially in the NFL right now, and especially having this quarterback that's pretty much, Eli needs to move on. If he's going to play in the league, let him go to a different team. But get this number one, get this high draft pick. You don't want to be picking in the middle of the first round. You want to be picking.
It's rare to be in that position, you know, to get maybe what is possibly a franchise quarterback. But look, you know, from a fantasy perspective, you want to see, especially from like a dynasty keeper perspective, you want to know who's quarterback in this team next year because that affects Odell.
What do you think? Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah.
That's a good, very good point, Scott. What do you think, Greg? As a New York Giant fan, who do you want making this selection of this draft pick? Let's not even talk head coach. Let's talk about who's the guy that's going to be in there and do the and be in charge of football operations. Because for the right price, I will run the New York Giants.
Greg wants to do it.
It's thankless job.
You would work for the Giants?
for the right price, I would go in there and be the president of football operations for the New York Giants.
How many million dollars? What is that price?
It's going. They're going to have to open up. They're going to have to open up the bank account, you know, if they want the fantasy executive running the operation.
You work for the team. What about when they play Dallas?
If the bag is heavy enough,
how about them Giants?
You
can be bought.
Yes, I
can. Just like you were in the NBA with Golden State.
I would say anyone can be bought. When it comes to my fandom, yeah. you want to pay me enough to work for the Cowboys? I'd run to Dallas.
I'd root against the Mets if I'm going to win the baseball overall that
final Sunday. Exactly.
100%. You would think. F the Mets, because it's your
the
damn
wallet. The Wolpons can go shove it.
Yeah.
All right, a couple of...
Give me some names, Greg, to run the Giants, besides me.
I
thought
you go like Parcells, bring Parcells back.
No.
Yeah, it would be cool.
Come in with a wheelchair
you know who I want to run the Giants?
Who?
In all honesty? Let's just pretend that's Heather.
Yeah.
Put Barack Obama in charge of the Giants.
Oh, wow. But Barack Obama, I don't know what, you know... He'd be good motivated. He'd be a good coach. I don't know if what
he'd
he knows
be great
about,
with the media. Yeah,
I don't know what he knows about development. You know, scouting talent. You know what I'm saying?
How solid was his cabinet?
Barack Obama can be the commissioner after Jerry Jones run.
I
think Jerry Jones is going to be the commissioner.
You know, might as well.
You know, be the commissioner. Ben Simmons goes. I want to bet money on Bob Iger being the next commissioner, head of Disney.
Okay, makes sense.
Him being the next commissioner, we'll see.
I mean, I'd love to be the commissioner.
Yeah, no.
$44 million. For they make billions and billions of dollars. So people that don't understand why they get $44 million a year.
Yeah, I don't know the right GM candidate, to be honest with you, to run the Giants. I don't have an answer. I can tell you who I want to be the head coach, but I don't know. Like, I can't tell you what executive from what team would be good to hire for the Giants. I don't know.
But who you want to be the head coach?
I have a couple names at the top of the list. Would be Jim Harbaugh. I'd like him. I'd like him to be.
You'd like him to leave college.
Yeah, I'd like him to come back to the NFL and win championships. Maybe bring Colin Kaepernick. That'd be fine. I'll take him. I'll go back to the Josh McDaniels thing. I'll give him another shot. I'm cool with that. I'll go David Shaw out in Stanford too. Those would be the guys I want. I'm too afraid that they'll hire the guy that finished second last time to McAdoo. Is what I'm afraid of.
Who was that?
That was Mike Smith.
Oh, where's he at now?
He's a Tampa Bay defensive coordinator.
I think Tampa Bay sealed his face.
Hey, you know that what's son that was the coach for the Bucks for a little while?
Raheem Morris.
He's working his way back
up. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear from a longtime Giants fan.
It was Leslie Frazier.
Like, who was more of a disaster, McAdoo or Ray Hanley?
Ooh.
Ray Hanley.
So the reason that I knew that the Monday Night Football game between the Niners and the Giants was Monday Night Football because it was Ray Hanley's first game. And it was Monday Night Football. And I just read an article by Mike Vaccaro of the New York Post comparing Ray Hanley to Ben McAdoo. That's how low it's gotten, Scotty. Yeah. That's why I knew that information. It's bad for both of them.
Yeah, I was at a Giant game that year, and they were falling behind to like a one-win team, and they started doing the tomahawk chop in the stands.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, a couple more news notes here from over the past couple of days. Mike McCarthy announced, Matt, that... Or it's come out. I don't want to say he announced. It's come out. We got a timeshare once again in Green Bay. Ty Montgomery's going to be your passing down back. Aaron Jones is going to be your running back. What do we make of these guys going forward?
The guy I want is Ty Montgomery, especially in the PPR. I'm going to go with the guy that can catch the ball. He's the guy that could create more of a matchup nightmare for opposing. Look, for what it is with Hundley there. Look, Aaron Jones had a couple of really good games. I'm not going to put that past him. But I think Montgomery's still McCarthy's guy.
Okay.
If he's healthy, that's the one that I want to roll with.
Look, to me, Aaron Jones right now, he's the T.Y. Hilton of running backs. He'll have a big game, and then he'll be quiet. I think you don't know from week to week, but I would lean towards Montgomery because game script will dictate that the Packers are going to fall behind, and he's the one catching passes out of the backfield.
Yeah.
But it would not shock me, though, this week if, like, they stay in the game against Chicago. It's a divisional game. I think you would expect Chicago to win, but nowhere near can you mail that in. And if they stay in the game, Aaron Jones might be the one carrying that offense. So,
I like Montgomery this week.
Yeah, I would lean towards Montgomery, but I would not be surprised if Jones outplayed him. I think it's going to be very, very unpredictable.
I think game script is going to be an important part of what happens here, and I'm quite sure the Bears want to hammer this team. You get a chance to play the Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers, you should drop the hammer on them
the problem
and make
them
feel it.
I think the problem,
especially the Bears.
I think the problem is, though, I don't think the Bears have the offense to script anybody. You know, it's really the running game, and you know they have no wide receivers to speak of. If the defense can dominate,
they're
going to
create turnovers.
If the defense can dominate, yes, but I don't know if this team is built to script anybody yet.
Well, this is so. What's interesting to me is what Matt said. He would start Ty Montgomery in a flex this week. He has no issue doing that. That's the one you want to own. Would you also start Aaron Jones in a flex, Matt?
It would depend upon my options. I guess I'm kind of the lower guy. I've been the lower guy on Aaron Jones. When I'm looking at some of my options in certain leagues, yeah, I'd be happy to put him in there, I guess. But it would be dependent upon either or. Like, you know, when we play that game,
yes.
Who do I have? So I think Montgomery, at least in the PPR, is going to catch
Look,
the ball.
It changes every week. Last week, people were asking, should they cut Ty Montgomery? And they were all over Jones. And a week later, now, I know we weren't, but a week later now, people are just like, they don't know what to do. This is a very, very hard situation, because if the Packers can somehow stay in games, Aaron Jones might be the guy. If they get scripted, it'll be Ty Montgomery. But there might be times, you know, that both of them are relevant or not productive. It's really, really hard.
I think ideally, this should be a competitive game.
Ideally, you don't want to start either one of these guys, but you still have four teams on a bye.
I look at the situation that I have in my league where I own Aaron Jones. He's in my lineup this week along with Tevin Coleman. On my bench is Rod Smith and a couple other running backs on bye, right? So if Ezekiel Elliott is suspended today and the suspension kicks in and we lose him for the rest of the fantasy season, who you think I should rather start, Rod Smith or Aaron Jones?
No, Aaron Jones.
I think Aaron Jones.
You don't know what Rod Smith's going to be.
You don't know what his role is going to be beyond third down this week. If that happens, he could eventually earn the starting job, but right now it's Morris.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. Like people should cut Darren McFadden or something. I wouldn't cut any of those.
Not yet.
Until you see what actually happens.
A final verdict,
yeah. But how many of those can you actually hold, though? You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's what I was saying a month ago, and you was like, you got to pick up all three of them if you can. And I was like,
I never said
silly.
Three. I never said three. I
you,
said
you were carrying
two
three Dallas
can.
Cowboy running backs. Is what I'm talking about.
No, I was not.
You
You're
were
incorrect.
For carrying Dallas. You were for
I
carrying.
I never said that.
Scott, you was not.
I said two.
Wait a minute, Scott. You did not have a team where you owned Alfred Morris, Darren McFadden, and Ezekiel Elliott.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
But you know what, though? It was a temporary situation that week, I said. I said it wasn't long term. I said we were waiting to see what happened in the suspension.
But you still said it.
The week leading up.
Don't sit here and say you didn't say it when you still said it.
No, I thought you were talking about Rod Smith.
You thought wrong.
I thought wrong. I think you know. I think Atlanta is going to be Dallas this week. Maybe that's correct.
Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah.
There you go. So Aaron Jones versus Ty Montgomery. It's now one of those things you're going to have to ultimately watch back and forth, much like Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams, how each and every week plays out. We have a couple more headlines coming up next hour. But when we come back here on the Roto Experts, I was thinking this week walking home from work and having you think of a particular song and having you think of some other stuff. I'll explain when we return here on the Roto Experts.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Specifically, actually, Scott, because I was walking home a couple days ago from work.
Right.
It was just raining outside. In all honesty, it's pouring. It was election day, actually.
Who was the model he was dealing with?
I don't know that. But it was poor outside.
Seymour, like, Stephanie Seymour.
And I'm like, man, this November rain is disgusting. November rain. Like, that's
Guns N' Roses.
That's funny. So I walked home. I got there, and I took out my computer to start working on the show for the next day, throughout the week. And I, all of a sudden, I was like, I got to hear this. Now I want to hear the song, right? So I started playing the song. And I just thought of the line. I started singing. It was, oh, man. Nothing lasts forever. It got me thinking from a fantasy perspective.
Right.
About how certain things just don't last forever. We're here in week 10 of the fantasy football season. So I want to ask you guys a couple of questions, and you tell me if you believe they will last the rest of the way. Okay. Or last forever, essentially.
Last forever.
I hope Jack is in this conversation.
Can Carson Wentz last the season and finish as QB1?
Not as QB1. I think Wilson, Prescott, probably Brady. No, at least Wilson and Prescott, you know, those are guys that give you rushing yards. I think Dak has a shot of finishing at number one because he's even better than he was last year. So, and he can run the ball. You know, Wentz doesn't have the mobility of those guys. He could surpass Brady, but I would say no.
He's got murderous row coming up when he gets off that bye. You know what I'm saying? Because when he comes off that bye, he's got to look at America. He's got to look America in the eye. He's got to go on the road and do that.
Playing the Patriots.
That's going to be tough for him to do. And then he's got Chicago. Then back-to-back matchups with Seattle and the Rams. And then he gets a soft
defense. Chicago game's not going to be that
tough. And then he gets the soft. The Bears can play defense. Then he
very
gets
well.
Defense will play, spend too much time in the
Scott,
field
I'm
in that
talking.
Game.
And then he gets a softie against the New York Giants. Now he finishes up with the Oakland Raiders. And then week 17, you know, once again, he's looking America in the eye. So the schedule is going to tighten up on him. I think he's a top five fantasy quarterback. But we're going to see what he's about when he has to win some of these games for them.
Yeah, see, well, you know what? He'll
the opposite here. I was of what Corey said. I was originally going to say he was top five, maybe not top number one.
Yep.
And then I looked at the schedule, and I'm like, I really like the schedule. Maybe at Seattle, but I don't think Seattle's the Seattle of the past either. And look, Chicago, look, he threw on Denver and everybody, so I'm not really worried about it. And I think he's got a great schedule. So
yeah, I don't think Chicago's a thing. The defense.
Oh, their defense is good.
No, they're good, but they'll spend too much time on the field. I think so. I'm not worried about Chicago. You know, Seattle isn't as imposing as they were in the past. That's correct. You know, they do play the Rams, which I'm very interested to watch. And look, you know, those two wins against Dallas are not going to come easy.
Back-to-back road games, week 13 and 14 at Seattle, at Los Angeles. I think that's tough. I mean, this team, looking, they got Dakota Denver at home. You feel what I'm saying? At this time of the season.
With Osweiler.
Yeah, with Osweiler. That's not an impressive victory. San Fran. You know, they struggled against Washington at Carolina. That was a good win. But Carolina still hadn't found their offense, which they still haven't found their offense yet either. So they've had the benefit of the schedule. I think it's going to tighten up on them a little bit. He's a top five quarterback. He's not QB1.
Look, you have to give him credit for who they beat, okay? Look,
the numbers say it.
Look, Dallas had a really easy schedule last year, too. So
This is 2008. This is 2017,
it's same,
Scott.
It's the same
We're not
concept.
Talking about 2016.
It's the same
We're talking
concept.
About 2017.
It's the same concept.
The question Mr.
Easy
Sussman
schedule.
Asked was
easy
can,
schedule.
Can the damn quarterback finish
Dallas
QB1?
Dallas was one and done.
You know what I'm leaving.
He needs Zach Ertz to be healthy the rest of the way.
And I think he will be. All right, let me ask this. Nothing lasts forever. Will Matt Ryan finish, after finishing as the number one overall player in fantasy last year, finishing as a league MVP, will Matt Ryan, much like he is right now, finish outside the top 12?
Yes. I think there's a better chance of Buckethead, you know, but coming back to Guns N' Roses than this guy being a top 12 fantasy
nobody
quarterback.
Nobody knows, Scott. Nobody don't know who you're talking about.
You don't know rock and roll. You think Ozzy Osbourne's a Beatle. The other people will know. But, you know, this guy is just like, he didn't have a good game against New England when the defense was playing bad. I just don't think he's anywhere near fantasy QB1 right now.
Are we talking just the rest of the season? Will he be a top 12?
When the season is said and done, will Matt Ryan finish as a top 12 quarterback?
I don't know if he can get back up there from where he is now. Will he be a top 12 rest of the way? I'm going to bet on Matt Ryan. So from this point on being top 12, okay. I don't know if he can get back into it.
Corey?
Nah, I think Matt Ryan has a schedule in his favor. But he's got that Sarkisian guy that don't know what the hell he doing. You know what I'm saying? And Matt Ryan is not like a Ben Roethlisberger type that's going to be like, scrap your playbook. I'm going to go out there and do my thing. Matt Ryan is going to stay within the system, say the right things, answer the questions. But it's going to hinder him this year. Matt Ryan is a good year, bad year, good year, bad year, good year, bad year. We're getting the bad Matt Ryan right now. He's going to finish outside the top 12.
All right,
he's a bust.
No question about it. All right, let's move on to the running backs. Nothing lasts forever.
I don't think they like you singing, Greg.
Whatever.
Get a little higher to be Axel, you know.
Not trying to. Trying to be myself. Yeah. Not whatever that was. Chris Thompson, for most of this year, has been an RB1 inside the top 12. When it's all said and done and it's all written, at the end of the season, will Chris Thompson finish in the top 12?
I'll say he finishes outside it, but he's still going to be productive. I mean, you're definitely... He is a player that is helping teams win this year.
There could be one or two down games, but I think there's going to be some big ones, too. You look at the overall where he finishes, I think he definitely finishes top 12. This guy is the most explosive pass-catching running back in the league right now.
Yeah. More than Alvin Kamara?
I'll go Kamara.
I think Kamara's more complete.
Okay.
But I think if I had to bet on somebody scoring from 70 or 60 yards out, it would be Thompson.
That's hard to bet on somebody scoring from 70 yards
out. I'm just saying he's a more natural big play guy. I like both of them, though. I think Kamara's more complete. He's definitely a better runner.
That win against Seattle in Week 9 that Washington pulled off, that might be the most impressive victory any team has had on the season.
Yeah.
And I think that gave some life back into the D.C. football team. And I think that makes them success breeds confidence. And I think that's a confident bunch moving forward. And I think that makes Chris Thompson better. He's an RB1 the rest of the way.
Does that win in Seattle finally get Kirk Cousins paid?
Yeah. That's the biggest win in Kirk Cousins' career.
I agree with that.
I love that game this week, the Washington-Minnesota game.
Yeah.
That's going to be a hell of a
really
match.
Good game.
It should be, you know, the Redskins, and, you know, they have this
confidence
now. You
just
used
a slur just now, Scott. Oh,
I'm really sorry. Sorry, Mike. No, that would be somebody else.
But savage on the radio. Yeah, for real.
But look, that's, you know, they'll have a lot of confidence playing against Minnesota because, look, like Matt is right. The Seattle defense isn't quite as imposing as it was in the past, but people still regard that as a measuring stick to go in there and win in that environment because the defense is no longer great, but it's still good, you know. And people look at that, if I can go in there and win there, if we can win there, we've really accomplished something. So there's that team has a lot of reason to have a lot of confidence right now.
Okay. Next, Devontae Freeman. Will he finish outside the top 12?
I think he might. I think that's a really a possibility. The usage, I know Frank Stanfield had a tweet about a week or so ago, within the last week, just basically showing the receptions and his on pace, put it this way, and for like rest of the season. So if he's got this bad knee, I'm going to, you know, I was kind of getting worried about Coleman, but if Freeman's banged up, maybe that's a boom to Coleman. So I'm going to say yes, he finishes outside.
I'm going to say he just finishes in the top 12.
In the top 12, wow.
If he gets healthy, like he'll finish like 11th or 12th. I think he's still too talented of a running back. And once he's not banged up anymore, I think you're going to see some better performances from him.
I think it's the play calling and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, it is. That's why I wouldn't put him back and say the top 6 going forward. But I think he could still finish top 12.
Ultimately, outside the top 12 right now, will that last? It remains to be seen. Okay, in front of me right now, I have the top 12 wide receivers in a half-point PPR. Okay, it's a half-point PPR. I want you to tell me how many of these guys out of the 12 that I name will last and finish inside the top 12 when it's all said and done. DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Brown, Tyreek Hill, T.Y. Hilton, Alshon Jeffrey, A.J. Green, Michael Crabtree, Doug Baldwin, Marvin Jones Jr., Larry Fitzgerald, Mike Evans, Jarvis Landry. Those are your top 12. How many of those 12 finish?
Eight out of the 12.
Eight out of the 12. Okay. Scott.
And that was a lot to rattle off.
Yeah, I'm going to short. Retain. I'm going to short Fitzgerald. I mean, in two games, he has 62.7 fantasy. This is a full-point PPR. And 60 points in the rest of, in the other six. I'm going to short him.
Real fast, do it again, and I'll just...
Hopkins. Brown. Tyreek Hill. T.Y. Hilton. Alshon Jeffrey. A.J. Green. Michael Crabtree. Doug Baldwin. Marvin Jones. Larry Fitzgerald, Mike Evans, Jarvis Landry.
Six of the 12.
Which is crazy because we are at week 10.
Actually, I'm going to say seven. Marvin Jones, yeah.
We are at week 10, and you believe basically half of these guys won't finish.
A little more than half. Yeah.
So interesting. There you go. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the hour. Come up next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Isn't it wild, Scott, that as we are at week 10, that you believe just over half, maybe, of the guys in there, the top 12 wide receiver and half point PPR right now, will last? Only half. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. If you want to run them down, I'll do a quick hitting analysis on why.
No, you don't have to. It's fine.
Okay.
All right. I do have other questions.
Sounds like Larry David there.
I do have other questions, though, when it comes to the wide receivers and moving forward. Do you believe that Keenan Allen and Kelvin Benjamin will both finish outside the top 25?
No.
They both are currently outside the top 25.
I think Benjamin picks it up.
But you don't think Keenan Allen does?
No, I'm saying that I think Allen will pick it enough to be a wide receiver too. And with Benjamin, he's going to be that top target. And Tyrod Taylor's underrated. He's done a lot with a little, and now he gets a real quality pass catcher. So I like Benjamin as a wide receiver, too, the rest of the way.
Kelvin Benjamin is currently barely a wide receiver three. Keenan Allen, slightly ahead of him, you know, five spots or so.
I believe that he's going to a team with a guy that is a better pure passer. I believe that Tyrod Taylor is a better pure passer than Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton's more effective as a runner. I think Tyrod Taylor, I know they lost the game, but, you know, he's really improving as a passer. You know, I watched some of more of the film, you know, he really, his decision-making as to when to stay in the pocket and when to take off has improved. He's really evolving as a pure passer. He's really, like, lately thrown some real dimes and really anticipating his wide receivers very, very well as to when they're going to get open. So I think him and Benjamin have the potential to be a nice connection.
It really sounds like you like Kelvin Benjamin even more than you like Keenan Allen going forward, the way you're talking about
it. I think Keenan Allen is more established, and it's very, very close for me. And I wouldn't be surprised if he picked it up and easily outplayed Benjamin, but I do like Benjamin going forward.
There you go.
And with Allen, it's kind of a thing, like, you know what he's been.
Well, yes, but he's been outside the top 24.
Yes, but... And Benjamin still has to prove what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have to give the edge to Allen, but I wouldn't be surprised if Benjamin surprasses him.
I think it's interesting that both of these wide receivers, again, separated by about five spots, outside the top 25 and a half point PPR leagues right now. Scott obviously believes the combination of Tyrod Taylor and Kelvin Benjamin will put up some points the second half of the year, while Keenan Allen, he actually expects to be kind of what we thought he would be.
You know what's crazy? It's like I'm getting ready to do my lineup ranks for rotoexperts.com this morning. And I have Josh McCown two spots ahead of Drew Brees.
Well, yeah,
it's a crazy season.
We talked about this a lot on the BFFs yesterday. And basically that Drew Brees was pretty low on Frank's rankings this week, like barely top 10. He had Jared Goff as number four quarterback this week, so I thought that was very interesting.
I'm going to have number four, too.
Yeah, there you go.
Probably be Prescott, Wilson, Brady, Goff.
When it comes to... Oh, you don't have Stafford in there. Very interesting.
Stafford, I have at fifth.
Okay. So...
Because they have the troubles in the red zone.
In talking about things that will last forever, do you believe, Scotty, that Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz will both finish ahead of Rob Gronkowski when it's all said and done this year?
Yes, Ertz will. And Kelsey's got a shot because I can't trust Gronkowski to stay healthy. So I just think he's going to miss another game or
so
two.
So you're saying yes?
Yes.
Corey, you agree?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that they'll finish ahead of Gronk. Gronk is just not having the... Hey, don't get me wrong. He's having a good season. He's been solid. He's been on the field. He's been solid. But those two tight ends are playing better football than he is. And I think Gronk is beat up.
Yeah, he is beat up. Last question when it comes to our
Gronk run like an old lineman.
Well, he kind of is. Last question when it comes to our Guns N' Roses November rain. Will Hunter Henry sneak into the top 12 at tight end before the season is through?
Interesting.
I think so. Maybe just towards the back end. Or...
So you're saying yes. Mr. Corey Parson, Fantasy Executive?
Let me see where he's at right now.
I was doing half point PBR, so I'm not sure where he is PBR. All right,
I'm going to go half point. All right. I can do half point too, Greg.
Thank you.
All over this.
I know you're so multidimensional.
I can multitask. Never mind. I've been known for handling more than two things at one time. Sometimes it's gotten me in trouble. Hunter Henry inside the top 12 in a half point PPR. No, I think he finishes just outside. I think it's too many weapons in that offense.
Okay, you think he finishes outside the top 12?
In that 14 to 16 range.
All right, so there you go. Very interesting. Unfortunately for Scotty, that still makes him better than Eric Ebron. All right, we take a break. We'll come back in the next hour. We'll talk to Dr. A, inside injuries. We'll do a whole lot more. Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.